Hey, welcome to the Deucecast, episode 28, Hurricane Retton, the Podcastly Hallows, part 2. I'm your host, Dave, and over there's the man who scores in every movie. That's Mikey. Say hey, Mikey.
Hello.
And up in the Deucecast Studios North in the Noog, the guy who defines the movie term, best boy. That's Matt. What's going on, Matt?
Howdy. How's it going, guys?
And across the table from us, our lovely contributor, the wonderful Hurricane Rhett.
Hello.
Thank you for coming back to the studio. Thank you for coming back to joining us
Lovely.
One more time.
Oh, of course.
Big thanks to Tommy and Sean over there doing all the production stuff, pushing buttons and trying to make it look good. Before yes. we start, you can find us all up and down the interweb on Facebook and Stitcher and iTunes and Ustream and Twitter and everywhere else as the Deucecast has taken over the world, one person at a time. So please go on to iTunes and download us. We got a long way to go to take over the world.
And please, if you download the podcast and you have a Twitter account, please friend us. Follow us, whatever it's called, on Twitter. We have been stuck at 13 followers ever since we started this thing. So please, if you listen to us and download us, please.
And go on iTunes and leave a review. Even if you don't listen to the show, leave a positive review. Maybe that's good that you don't listen to the show. You can leave a great review and, you know, not be none the wiser. So anyway, we've got a great show. Lots of music in this show. I think we realized in our little pre-production this is going to be a heavy musical show.
Constant music.
That's okay, though. Our Smorg's got music and our Treasure's got music. The Big Three. And, of course, we're going to name that crap a little bit later on.
Oh, wow, we're doing that, too?
We're doing Name That Crap,
oh
yeah. Yeah, well, with Hurricane Rhett, we had to do some...
That's a lot of stuff.
Not only Name That Crap, it's the Name That Crap, the hairband edition.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be awesome.
Nice. Excellent.
But before we kick things off...
I know my rat, too, so...
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do.
Before we kick things off, we're going to break it down with a little bit of beverage tasting, and I think Matt is going to lead our little eccentric tasting this week. So, Matt, please, lead us.
I am. Well, a couple weeks back, Stephanie came in and she knew that we were starting this, on and off, on again, off again, taste testing.
Let me just jump in real quick.
Oh, my goodness.
Matt, you knew what this stuff was. This is the first time in the last 10 seconds. Rhett and Michael have seen this can. I saw it about 30 seconds ago. The words dietary supplement are the things that bother me the most.
Oh, man.
My goodness. I don't know if
so
I can...
So, Matt, okay, please continue.
We may have to break for a few minutes.
What flavor have you got there?
I had a little siesta.
It's berry.
Whatever.
I got citrus.
Whatever Rastafarians call right. a siesta. But, yeah, like, Stephanie went to one of our local... healthy food stores, organic stores, Earth Fair is the name of it.
I'm sure it's organic.
And, are you sure it's not called Lilith Fair?
It's not Lilith Fair. They wouldn't have Bob Marley. They'd have Ani DeFranco. But anyway, she came back and she was like, hey, Matt, I found some really cool drinks that you should get. And she told me about them. And I was like, heck yes, definitely get them. So I'll describe this drink. And I got to attribute all of it to my awesome wife. She picked this out. She went and picked them up and everything. But this is All Natural Relaxation Marley's Mellow Mood. And it has Bob Marley's picture on the front. Citrus. My flavor is citrus. There's another one that's berry, right?
Rhett and I have berry.
We have berry.
Michael keeps ending up with the citrusy, juicy flavors. So,
but it's
do
it's,
not
it's a
drive
supplement.
Or operate heavy machinery after consuming this product.
That's what I'm laughing about. The recommended usage. This product may cause drowsiness. No more than 2 cans per day. Consume several hours apart.
What in here makes you fall asleep? It's juice and carbonated water, sugar.
I think you know what's in here that makes you fall asleep. It's a Marley
drink. Correct.
Drag.
No, I, okay. Yeah, I know. I know where
I
we're going
you know
here.
Know what's in there.
It's like a liquid brownie.
It's exactly. Relaxation blend, Valerian roof extract. Root extract.
Matt,
lemon balm extract.
I think you should be the first to taste it since you provided this magic drink.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm popping her open now.
Do it.
Should I drink this or smoke this? I don't really know.
I want to do both.
Yeah, that's not good. Okay. I've got citrus here, so let's take a little drink of this. It actually doesn't taste that bad.
It's not
good.
That's the trick of it.
All right. I'll go next.
All right. Dave's going next.
Oh, this smells.
Dave's got berry.
It's very berry too.
That tastes like a venereal disease.
Oh, I don't care for the face he made either.
How do you know that a venereal? How do you know?
David, I think everything we've had has tasted like that. Is that all you taste?
that's all his taste buds taste. All right, I've got citrus.
I just caught pancreatic cancer.
I mean, I'm not drinking anymore. I mean,
this is like Clearly Canadian's retarded younger cousin.
I agree. That's exactly yeah.
I mean, if Clearly Canadian and Izzy got together
Clearly
and had a baby,
Canadian, yeah.
This would be the incestual offspring.
It's not like bad. It's no Vivacious.
Yeah, it's not like it's overly horrible.
Oh,
it's just
Rhett's
not,
going. Rhett's downing the whole thing.
Rhett's chugging.
Is downing the whole thing. Oh my gosh.
I need to mellow.
He
out
got
a
some
bit.
In his
hey,
eyes.
I'm taking a little more.
Oh man, it splattered in my eyes.
It's burning.
It's burning my eyes.
All right. Well, here we go. Yeah.
I'm not drinking it.
What do you think, Rhett?
I'm not drinking any more of this. It scares me.
Look, it's not that bad. I'm getting drowsy, though.
It's a dietary. I'm not drinking a dietary supplement. I'm just not doing it.
No. The aftertaste is not good, however.
No, it's not. No.
It's like...
Which one are you drinking, Rhett?
It's berry.
Berry?
Berry, yeah.
What's weird is like...
The citrus, I don't have a bad
aftertaste. My mouth feels hollow, which is weird. I don't know. It's...
Yeah, like a...
I don't
almost
like it.
Metallic.
Yeah.
There's like a metallic hollowness.
Not Metallica, metallic.
Right.
I don't like it. I'm not touching it.
It tastes like right, it tastes like citrus. Bob Marley's hair.
Yeah, try the citrus because I'm not drinking any more of it.
Isn't it like that one of the symptoms of a stroke?
That's rough. Here,
having a metallic taste in your mouth?
The citrus.
That does mean you're having a stroke, actually.
I think the citrus will skew your opinion because the berry is actually...
Oh, the berry is solid, good quality beverage compared to this citrus junk.
No. See, I like the citrus.
Oh, no.
No way. No way, no how.
No.
We need to move on.
I don't care for this at all. This is a segment I want you to do on a week that I'm not here.
Oh, okay.
Well, at least you have something to rant about now.
Marley's mellow mood.
All right, talk about our week. Rhett with skydiving.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain climbing. He went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. Sorry.
No. Wait.
Oh,
we're getting ahead.
Sorry. Yeah.
I did. I went skydiving. It was a tandem jump. It's unusual. Has any of you ever done that?
I won't be. No.
I would like to, but I can't afford it.
I would love to.
Well,
yeah, love
first
to.
Of all.
Some of us aren't loaded like the Barnetts or whatever.
Hey, let me tell you, I got a deal for you. But listen, we.
Group
what
on.
Need,
first
what
of all,
do
this,
I need to do?
This tiny airplane, I would not have gotten on without a parachute in the first place.
Right,
okay,
it was like
the hatchback of an escort launched out of a cannon.
So it made you feel safer.
Right, I was like, when can we get out of this thing? So yeah.
Right now, push.
So we're ascending, right? And I have not been strapped to my partner yet. I'm still unlatched, which makes me nervous. So I keep reminding him, do not forget to attach me to you before
right.
we jump out of this airplane. So we're ascending, and on board there are three pairs who are doing tandem jumps. There are two videographers, and there are a pilot and whoever,
right.
and who is, you know, long-haired Vietnam vet. He's like, come on, let's get him up in there, and you know that's how that works. So
he wanted to go and bomb the occupied
Wall
Street.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, Charlie called. The war's over. So here we're up, and then there are a couple of guys who are doing solo jumps, and. I'm sitting next to the door, and by door I mean sliver of plastic covering an opening in the side of the airplane. And so this guy's sitting in the floor next to me, and nobody says anything, nobody does anything. He just leans over, slings the door open, and steps out of the airplane. Okay?
Oh, wow.
Just, whoop, he's out.
But is that the way you, wouldn't that be the way you wanted it? I mean,
well,
not knowing anything, or?
Well, it was good for me to
have
not have any.
On?
Presumably, I didn't hear the story afterwards, but he just stepped out. So I start laughing. I was like, hey, that's ridiculous. He just walked out of the airplane.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, we're about to do that too. So we get to altitude, we lean over, and the guy just rolls out with me attached to him, right? He's on my back, kind of, and we just roll right out.
Right.
You see the plane departing. I mean, you kind of roll over, and as you right yourself to get in that standard skydiving formation,
right.
You see the plane off into the distance, just disappear.
But then
you right.
You feel like Gary Busey from Drop Zone?
Well, then you get righted.
You're
in free fall, right, and... there's no sensation of falling. It's not like on a roller coaster where
right.
you go down a hill. It doesn't take your stomach. It's just 120 mile an hour wind in your face. Seriously,
yeah.
right? So we free fall for a while. And I've got a videographer right in front of me who's twirling around, and you know, we're high fiving and fist bumping. I mean, in free fall, right?
Wow.
And it lasts for less than a minute. It's more than 30 seconds.
Sounds
it's
really
less
gay.
Than a minute. and then the shoot comes out, and at that point I'm ready for the shoot. I mean, I've had enough of free fall. I'm like, is this thing going to open? So I know how to treat the next minute of my life, right?
Right, right.
So the shoot comes out, and you go from 120 to about zero. And everywhere the harness is touching your body bears the brunt of that shock.
Yeah, yeah.
The velocity bleeds into energy, which goes primarily to your testicles, okay? That's where the harness is. I had forgotten about them, frankly. They suddenly became the most important player in the skydiving.
Right.
So it was, frankly, the actual descent from under the canopy was relatively painful, and then you hit pretty hard. I mean, it's not a
right.
You know, they pull up and they can, like, if you're by yourself, you know, these guys know how to do it, and they land on their feet or whatever. But they don't. You don't land on your feet when you got an extra 200 pounds on there. So, however, it was spectacular. Okay, I'll quit carrying on about it. But everyone should do it.
I don't have the guts. No, I know no guts, no glory. I don't. I'm not wanting any glory.
It's pretty cool.
I just don't think I could do it. I haven't even ever bungee jumped.
I've bungee jumped before.
Yeah, I've done that.
I want to go skydiving. It's one of those things I would like to do. And I'm afraid as I get older,
$50, David.
My what? 50? Really?
Yes.
Seriously?
I'll get with you.
Please do. I just pay you.
Yeah, that's what you want is the discount skydiving. Hey, come on, I'll jump, will you?
The Groupon skydiving.
I just pay you. Would you pay like $50 and a heifer? I mean,
had to give up two sheep.
That's right. $75
hey,
in this bag of corn.
Hey,
sacrifice
I'll take
a goat.
You up there if you give me that sheep. All right, here you go.
I'm afraid as I get older, my inclination to skydive is going to lessen, and so I do want to.
It was in Waverly, Tennessee. It's a good 4-hour drive, and it is in the middle of nowhere.
Waverly, Tennessee, 4-hour drive. You drop out of a plane for 15 minutes and then come back.
Oh, no, it's less than 15 minutes. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Why not? Do they not have skydiving at the Shelby County Airport?
No, I mean, I don't think they do here, but they've got them closer, but where this one was purchased, that where they had some availability.
Nice.
So
interesting.
I got
nice. Very
yeah, Groupon.
Interesting.
Yeah, Groupon. So we were talking earlier about the about Facebook on the phones and the problem with the Facebook app, and I made the decision the other night to put the new Facebook 4.0 on my phone.
Was that the first time you'd had Facebook on your phone?
Well, no, I've had Facebook on my phone, which has always worked fine. Not a big deal. You know, little glitches here and there, but it's been fine. So I'm like, oh, well, Facebook's got a new update, so let me download it and update it or whatever. Well, it froze my phone. So, you know, I rebooted my phone, went to Facebook, and it gave it the blue screen which says Facebook. And a little swirly thing, you know, it just sat there for 15 minutes.
For a while.
So got rid of that, rebooted it again, and then I got the silver apple of death on my phone, where it just appled up and just sat there. And so for approximately 18 hours, I had no phone because this was at 9 o'clock at night, and so I had to work the next day. And so, you know, I went online actually on my computer and read that people are having all kinds of problems with the new Facebook app. And some people are waiting for hours and hours and hours for this thing to load before it actually loads. And so I made an appointment at the Apple Store because I had no idea what was wrong with my phone. Went to the Apple Store and sat there. I had my appointment, got there at 2:30, right at my appointment time. Actually spoke to somebody at 3 o'clock. But the biggest deal was 10 minutes after I got there, the phone's in my pocket, and I hear this little ding-ding familiar sound. I pull my phone out, and of course, I've gotten a text from someone. My phone works all of a sudden. And I have a theory that Apple has these magnetic rays in their store that any product you own by them will instantly start working as soon as you walk in there. So that way the Apple guys can go, I don't see what the big deal is.
Happened to me.
And so when the Apple guy came to me, I asked him simply, I said, have you ever had car trouble and got to the mechanic, and your car works just fine? And he goes, yeah. And I said, there's my phone. So, don't know. He said that a lot of people have come in with Facebook issues. A lot of people have had to do the same thing. And, you know, but that was the highlight of my week, essentially, was the Apple Store. Yay.
Well, you should have just insisted that it was still messed up.
Well, I actually
just like, no matter what, just be totally
him to,
like, no, it does not work.
I asked him to run a diagnostic on it. I asked him, you know, what about, you know, do some. He was like, I could do it, but he's like, if that's the problem with the Facebook, is it's not gonna tell me anything.
Well, my experience is that the iPhone periodically will turn itself off. You'll get the silver apple of death.
Right.
And then the best way to fix it is to go to the Apple Store and simply walk in.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will immediately begin to work again.
Well,
interesting.
And, you know, the silver apple is not really the silver apple
it's
of death.
It's just a reset, isn't it?
Silver, like, whatever
what
of death is, bricks your system.
Well,
yeah,
when
it
sits there
it
for 2 hours.
Is that what they call it, though?
You may not turn your multitasking business. You may not be closing your apps completely.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
And I actually do this whole double click thing on the bottom. I do that every night.
Yeah, now I do because I had that same problem. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I went to the Apple store, I guess, in February or something, about 8 months after it had my phone for the first time. And they told me
that's
that.
What
so
I,
every
yeah,
app I had ever opened, which was all of them.
Right.
Like, I sat there for 10 minutes clicking delete, you know, all out of my cache because it was like 300 apps, you know.
He was like, yeah, you out of memory, Biggin. Oh, okay.
He's like, this is why your phone's running so slow. I was like, oh, how about, I don't even use that app anymore.
Yeah, who knew?
Michael, how was your week?
It was awesome, man. I mean, it's a short week for me being in the financial industry. I was able to celebrate Columbus Day on Monday, so I ate some Portuguese food. I don't know. Was the guy Portuguese?
I think he was.
I don't know.
Italian, perhaps?
Italian? Well, good. I mean, I had some spaghetti.
Yeah, he was a Spaniard, wasn't he? I thought he was from Spain.
Yeah, maybe he was a Spaniard, but
the Queen of Spain sent him.
Oh, yeah, okay, then he was Italian. He was from Genoa, right?
Nerd alert!
Yeah.
I don't know where.
How is that a nerd?
Hey, Amaryllis on the Twitter feed there, or the chat feed there, you should know this stuff. Come on.
Anyways, I had some spaghetti to celebrate, you know, that night, so it was good. Whatever. Anyways, you're wrong, Amaryllis. He's not Spanish. He's either Portuguese or Italian.
Somebody famous was from Genoa.
You're thinking of Princess Mia from the Princess
Salami.
Diaries.
Salami.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Genoa salami.
I was just thinking of meat. Oh, my mistake.
It's Princess Mia, and I think it's like Genovia from the Princess Diaries 1 and 2.
Oh,
that's what you're thinking.
Never seen it.
But anyways,
on
long weekends, I actually get to watch movies. I opened...
Which answer? That Columbus was from Spain? Because that was my answer.
From Genoa.
Italy, right.
That's what I said.
I opened Netflix for the first time in 2 months. I hadn't touched Netflix in about 2 months. So I finally was able to open Netflix and spent about an hour just trying to find a movie to watch. Finally found two gems. one of them was called The Big Bang. It came out actually in February 2011. It was in theaters. No, it didn't make it to Birmingham, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
This was a film noir type thing. It had Antonio Banderas as the star.
I am a changed bee.
And he plays a private eye. And the movie starts off pretty awesome.
Use your nasal names.
Yeah. It had him beat all to hell in an interrogation room. He is being interrogated by William Fichtner.
Yes, William Fichtner.
Love that guy.
Delroy Lindo with a fro.
I love Delroy Lindo.
I love a fro.
Like a mini fro, though.
I feel like Delroy Lindo is like the welfare Samuel L. Jackson.
He is.
If you're making a movie and you can't get Sam Jackson,
poor man Sam Jackson.
Get Delroy Lindo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
Delroy Lindo is pretty awesome.
He is
He's
awesome.
In the Chicago Code.
Yeah.
Awesome in it.
And then the third guy, lesser known, Thomas Kretschmann. He was in Valkyrie. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. He always plays the evil German. I mean, that's pretty much all this guy ever plays. And he apparently cannot do accents because
You mean he basically just plays the German.
He's a German,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Wow.
Stupid Nazis.
Too soon, man.
I'm going to kill me some Nazis.
Too soon.
I want my Nazi scalps.
And so the premise of this whole thing is, I don't know this guy's name, but... And he's been in several movies, this huge Russian dude, like super tall, muscular, looks like he should be in the WWE.
Dolph Lundgren?
Might be in the WWE. No, he's bigger than Dolph Lundgren. He's like monster size, like huge, like Mr. Big or whatever his name was on WWE. Wasn't his name Mr. Big on WWE or the Big whatever?
The Big Show?
The Big Show.
Yeah.
He's like bigger than that
Captain
dude.
Insano from Waterboy.
Right.
Courtesy of Captain Nathaniel.
Exactly. And so he hires Antonio Banderas to find this girl. And this in the movie, just I don't want to ruin anything. It's actually a pretty good movie.
Because we're all going to go watch it.
No. I actually do recommend this, if only for the fact that there is an eccentric billionaire, of course, played by Sam Elliott. And he is awesome in it. What? He is
it's a weird cast.
Dude, it's a good cast.
Taking
though.
A break from those Dodge commercials.
Yeah, so I highly recommend
that. We're Dodge
that.
Tough.
He and the Super Collider is involved. So
can't go wrong looking for the boson.
Yeah, there's a Super Collider in the movie, so that in and of
That's
itself
a
should
smart humor right should, there. you just lost half our audience.
Is that the Large Hadron Collider? Sweet.
So definitely look. It's called The Big Bang, and it came out in 2011. Now, the other one I watched was called Middlemen. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I've heard of this.
This is Luke Wilson is the star of this, and he it's about the advent of internet porn, basically.
I've seen that.
Oh, you've seen it?
I have seen it.
It's not bad.
The movie or the porn?
Yeah, exactly. Giovanni Ribisi and Gabriel Macht play these two coked out people, basically. They're just constantly coked out. And these idiots, well, actually, technically, they're not idiots. Gabriel Macht's character is a rocket scientist that gets kicked out of NASA for doing blow in the
control room.
In the air thing. What's it called?
The shuttle?
I don't know. I don't know what it's
go
called.
Go with it.
The zero G room, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Standard. So he gets kicked out of NASA for that and moves to LA, where his friend that was a dentist, played by Giovanni Ribisi, gets kicked out for stealing drugs from his office, basically.
That bites.
And these guys invent internet porn on the couch one night.
Basically. Invent it.
Technically, they did, because. Giovanni Ribisi's character is like, hey man, why don't we just put some of these nudie pictures, scan them in, put them on the internet, and charge for it.
You know that thing Al Gore invented? Let's use it.
And so the rocket scientist, just after like 5 minutes, says, I can write a program for that. So they write a program, figure out how to take people's money, and then comes Luke Wilson's character, who is just Mr. Fix-It, basically. He fixes people's problems. He's a good businessman, family man, and gets involved with these two idiots, and it just goes. And James Caan plays a shifty lawyer, as he pretty much does in all of his movies. It just goes through that situation. That's, you know, neither one of these movies. No children need to be in within 500 miles of either of these movies, but. It was cool. I mean, I got to actually spend some time watching movies. I literally had not touched Netflix in about 2 months. So I got charged $7.99 twice and didn't use Netflix at all. So any long weekend, I'm excited to actually get to watch a movie.
So are you doing any of the DVDs, or are you just streaming and that's it?
I'm just streaming. Okay.
That Quickster worked out well, didn't it?
Yeah. The Quickster was pretty quickly out of the building. I mean, that was...
My theory is that they basically announced that name and announced that just to test the waters to see how people reacted.
Oh, really?
I think that's what they were doing. Because companies do that all the time with things.
Yeah. And when they got lambasted, they basically pulled back.
That was the biggest undo since New Coke.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, Coke 2.
Well, when they announced it at first, I was like, that is the stupidest name and...
the stupidest premise.
Well, I think of a rabbit on the front of a yellow bottle with chocolate milk in front of him when I hear that.
It was just ridiculous. The whole thing was ridiculous. So what about you, Matt? How was your week, man?
Well, I had some good and some... better and some bad. We went and picked up a new car, which was good. So I got
a new car or new to you?
It's used. Okay. I mean, it's a new car to us. It works. It has air conditioning and whatnot.
Dave Ramsey would be proud.
We had a clogged sink for 2 days, which I spent a total of about 5 hours snaking. Until I finally got it cleaned out.
That is such a draining process.
It's one of the dirtiest things I've ever done. I mean, like, I was covered in, like, black, it was gross. It was so nasty. But it worked, and I didn't have to have a plumber come.
When you see that drain full, it's a sinking feeling. It really is.
Oh, man.
It is. Well, hey, I'm just glad it wasn't the bathtub, you know, like the big hairy clogs.
Hey, the garbage disposal's no fun either.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it was.
Oh yeah,
was
I had one of those. Of the dude, there's some evil in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steph insists on using it. She really loves to use it, but the problem is we have a ranch style house, so our drain pipe under the floor barely goes down at all. So it's like this huge long pipe that just stuff eventually just builds up in. You know what I mean? It's like long, basically. Perfectly horizontal pipe, so everything by the time it gets there, it just builds up. It sucks. Anyway, Steph and I got to go on a date. I guess it was last night. Yeah, Tuesday night, we got to go see Real Steel.
Oh yeah, how was that?
And it was awesome. Like, really? It is really, really good.
Now,
yeah,
okay,
on
okay,
many
wait,
fronts.
Wait. Now, is this, you know, when you say a movie's really, really good, like, is this Transformers
no.
good? Or
no, no, it is, I mean, like, it is a legitimate.
Or
like
Drive
a,
Angry good.
No, it is like a really good movie, like okay. a heartfelt movie. It's a movie that's like
I've heard this,
safe
yeah.
for anybody to go see. It's about, you know, basically like a father, like an estranged father and his son get together, and then they wrapped it up with robots, and they take robots around and box.
Isn't it just like rated them. PG or something?
It's PG-13.
Oh, is it 13?
For language, but that's all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the kid throws out a swear word and maybe some, like a couple others. But, I mean, I don't even remember them very well. But, man, the movie is really good. Like, I'd seen good reviews on it, but I was very surprised. I mean, like, Hugh Jackman impresses me like every time I see him, except for in Wolverine, which is because of Wolverine, because
right.
of the movie itself.
Right, right, right. That
sucked.
Wasn't his fault.
I felt that way about yeah. Van Helsing. He kind of let me down.
Oh, well, then, yeah, I agree. I mean,
look, everybody's
like,
got the crappy
thing.
Movies.
That's true.
but the thing that surprised me most is this was directed by the guy that did the Night at the Museum movies. And I liked the first one a lot, but it still was like went really far over the top, you know, with like the way the humor was super corny and things like that. And this movie was like a really good, real movie. You know what I mean? It didn't go right. too far in too many places, you know? Mm. There are a couple of little complaints I think anybody could have that are just like little bitty details, but aside from that, it was really good. Hmm. But the other thing I got to do this week was I got to start using Spotify on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this. It's like a requirement now, isn't it?
What? I haven't used a single
to
thing
to sign
on
up through Facebook. Isn't it like a requirement to do that?
Well, you use it through Facebook because that's the reason it's free.
Mm. Oh,
okay. I was watching Jimmy Fallon,
Zuckerberg,
and
darn you,
what's
Zuck.
His face? The guy
Zuck
from
you.
Napster. What's his name?
Yeah, yeah,
Sean Parker.
Whatever.
Parker.
Sean Parker. Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, the guy that. Yeah. Okay. Number one, he's nothing like Justin Timberlake.
What?
Like, nothing. They are absolutely.
You mean
nothing
he's not
alike.
Extremely charming and attractive?
Aaron Sorkin took some liberties.
What?
I think we had this exact
totally
conversation last
nerd.
Week.
Yeah.
To be honest with you,
no, it's been. A
he's like a totally awkward geek. But anyway, he was talking about Spotify and he explained it, and so I was like, "Wow, that's pretty intriguing." Because I'd seen people's, you know, which I'm annoyed at seeing the updates where it's like so and so is listening to so and so by so and so on Spotify,
right?
You know, on Facebook. That annoys me, but. Here's the reason for it. Spotify is totally free, and it has access to basically every song in existence. Like, nearly everything. Like, I even looked
really?
Up, Mikey. I looked up Dawes. I looked up...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I looked up A Great Book of John.
Really?
Well, yeah.
That's impressive.
And there is music, like, everything. Like, all of my stuff for the Big Three this week, I researched through Spotify.
Really?
And, yeah, but here's the deal. Here's the reason why I don't think it would work for you, Mikey, because you hate using a real computer.
Okay, yeah, that's a...
For it to be free, you have an app you download to your computer.
Nope.
And it's got to be through your computer.
Nope.
To pay $9.99 a month, you can have it on any mobile device.
Nope.
But here's the deal. Here's the reason why. I mean,
no,
you
I
can't.
Get it. No, I mean, I understand. Yeah.
Because what you're able to do is, unlike Pandora, which is like, okay, I'm going to say I like a style of music,
right?
And I'm going to get a radio station that will include some stuff I like,
yeah,
but some stuff I could care less about.
Right.
This, you create, I mean, you go create playlists, you share them with people, you can recommend songs for people, you know, you can look at what other people like. It lists everybody in the
See,
app, like,
I mean,
everybody you know who's using it. So it's pretty cool in that way.
I don't know. For a normal person who has to work, you know, 8 hours a day and has a computer that probably has everything blocked. So, like, in other words, it can't be used at work. I'd have to use it at home, and I just don't see, I don't know. I mean, I just don't see that when would I have time to sit at a desktop computer and just spend hours listening to music.
I'm putting Spotify right next to Pinterest on the shelf of stuff that I might get to at some point if I'm kind of bored, but I probably will never
I
use
it. I still hate Pinterest. I don't get it. I don't know. No, I mean, I wanted to do the Spotify thing because I had been following the whole
story of how difficult it was for them to get into the U.S. market. And I had also heard that they had total access to everything. And my biggest thing is the availability to purchase the songs at a really low price. And I don't think you can do that through Spotify, can you?
You don't purchase them at all.
Yeah, exactly. So, in other words, there wouldn't be a point for me. Like, if I'm going to listen to music, I'm not going to...
No, you buy an app. You buy an app where you access it just, as far as I know, where you create your playlist on your computer or on, I guess, your phone, and you access it streaming.
But you have,
but you have to pay the
$9.99
to do that.
Yeah. On your phone, yes.
Yeah.
See, that's not... If I can go pay 69 cents on Amazon's MP3 app,
which you
I,
would
I'm do,
do
that.
Through www.thedeucecast.com,
well, actually, no.
Then going to Amazon. Anyway.
Does Spotify have QIA? I don't think so, Drew. I don't think so, buddy. So you see what I'm saying,
Factor
Matt? I mean,
there,
as far as the way...
I see what you're saying,
as far as the way
for,
I listen to music.
Yeah, but what it's made for is people that, like, listen to music all day and aren't, like, caged... Like by cubicles, you know, like,
right,
like
no,
for
no,
college
no.
students,
right, right,
and stuff
right.
like that, you know, for the people that go to your Great Book of John shows that are not you,
such a
you know what
show.
I mean? They're going to be the ones that are using Spotify.
No, I mean, I understand the concept, but as far as the way I listen to music, it's more of a if I like it, I'm going to purchase it and download it onto my MP3 player device, whatever it is, and just go from there with it. It's not going to be something that I stream. The only thing that really like to stream is a radio station that's going to give me a variety and I can seek out a full album based
like
upon
Magic
the song.
Like Magic 96.5.
No, like Birmingham Mountain Radio.
Magic 96.5.
Well, the thing that I like most about
Delilah,
it is that if I have a whim to think about...
tonight. I love
if I have album. A whim, like on a whim, think about any song,
right.
I go look it up and I can listen to it at that moment. You know, especially if we're doing a thing like this where I need to do some research.
Right.
You know, like this podcast. I mean, it is like so useful and free.
Yeah.
And that takes me no time. I don't have to go to a search engine on Google and like look it up and try to find a YouTube clip that's got the audio on it if I can't find it, you know, for download. It's just got everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's
the one thing
super
I,
helpful.
The one thing I really like about Amazon's MP3 program is you can buy a freaking album for $3.99. I mean, tell me any place else you can do that legally. I mean,
man, between Spotify and Marley's mellow mood, I'm about to pass out.
I think Spotify is an incredibly long transition into the Music Minute.
And I was able to purchase the album that I'm about to play some songs from on Amazon, which you can do that through thedeucecast.com.
Yeah, you can.
Click through our website, and you'll have this particular album available.
Real quick, just want to say thank you to the people in our little chat feed here, Drew and Brad and Amaryllis and Heather and all them. And so anyway, thank you. Yes, Michael.
Thanks, Dave.
What is going on?
Dave,
my phone actually started playing.
Dave,
bunch of rank
everything up.
Bunch of rank amateurs.
Dave, thanks. For
I
that,
was
buddy.
Like, I recognize that tune, Michael. That's awesome. Wait a minute.
What is that?
Dave's tried to Skype onto my Music Minute here.
Yes, yes.
But anyways, this week's band is
fix that in post.
Probably well known to most. The name of the band's Wilco. They're pretty prolific as far as their albums are concerned. They've had 8 studio albums since 95. They are super good live. I've seen them live a couple times and love seeing them live. They're more of like an alt-country type band. Their new album actually just came out like 2 weeks ago, so this is some brand new music. The name of the album's The Whole Love. The first song we're going to listen to is The Art of Almost.
I'll never know when I'm my ambulance or horse or horse with my own hand.
You should play some more Zooey.
Almost.
It's coming.
I hope so.
Christmas time.
Yeah.
Almost.
Very Zooey Christmas.
I
This sounds like the end credits of a remake of Sneakers. Or Hackers. That sounds like he's constipated. Yeah, he's singing like this, like he can't get it out on the toilet.
Hey, what you doing in there? I'm shaving.
I'm singing a song and I can't take a crap on the toilet.
So we're going to listen to one more song. This is the single that's out right now. It's called I Might.
Heard this song.
Yeah?
Yeah, I watched the Partridge Family the other day, and I think this song was on there. I was thinking, son, David Cassidy was rocking it. I came down and I fell. Ow, ow, ow. By the way, as mentioned in our chat, I love Lisa Lisa and the Cold Jam. Lost in emotion, head to toe, all cried out. They can't beat it. Especially when they're teaming up with Full Force.
So that was I Might by Wilco. The brand new album is The Whole Love. Please go to our website. Check it out. If you like what you hear, buy it, and it'll help us out. Pennies to the dollar. Thank you.
I think I love you, but what am I so afraid of?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what it made me think of. That,
Lisa, you know, Lisa?
No, that's part of the family.
Okay. Little David Cassidy.
Kind of the same song now. All right, so... a little bit of potluck here I'm going to kind of bring to you. And again, I told you this is a music-centric show. Not by intention, but it's what happens when we don't really communicate what we're doing. We just kind of do it. This week's Big Three, of course, is movie themes and movie scores. And I'm trying to decide what I wanted to talk about for this particular list. It kind of correlates with the movie scores. And for all the talk about the wonder of John Williams and how he did Superman and Harry Potter and Star Wars, which all the talk is deserving, I wanted to talk about one guy that nobody talks about, and that would be Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman is...
what do you mean nobody talks about
him? Well, I mean, we don't talk a whole lot about Danny Elfman. We just don't. I mean, unless it's a Tim Burton movie, we don't talk about Danny Elfman. But
Danny Elfman did Real Steel's soundtrack.
He did.
Did he really?
Here's a partial list of the films he's done music for. That includes Alice in Wonderland, Milk, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The Next 3 Days, Corpse Bride, Charlotte's Web, Darkman, Nightbreed, Wanted, Dick Tracy, Red Dragon, Proof of Life, Extreme Measures, Men in Black, 1 and 2, Simple Plan, Army of Darkness, Midnight Run, Notorious, the B.I.G. story, Big Top Pee Wee, and, of course, Wisdom, starring Demi Moore and Emilio Estevez, which I think he might have gotten an Oscar for that. List goes on and on and on and on. And that's not even including doing the Simpsons main theme, the Desperate Housewives main theme, and his days with the band Oingo Boingo, and their appearance in the Roddy Dangerfield classic Back to School, which we unearthed as a buried treasure some podcasts back. So I wanted to play a little Danny Elfman music, and I want to see if you guys can kind of recognize some of these themes. I tried to make them pretty familiar, which this is the one that we heard a few minutes ago whenever my phone goofed up.
Oh, yeah, Big Top.
Oh, I know this one, Pee Wee.
It's that Big Tip Pee Wee.
Oh, it's Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Very good. Yeah. Very whimsical.
One of my favorites of all time.
Yes, Oingo Boingo, great music. All right. This one may take you a second.
Ooh.
Actually, let me advance the song to somewhere in the middle. See.
This sounds terrible.
What'd you say, Matt?
It sounds like so overblown, I can't understand it.
It's Batman.
Nope. Batman.
Beetlejuice.
Not Beetlejuice.
Batman Returns.
Edward Scissorhands.
Nope. Nope.
Batman and Robin?
The theme from
Batman.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the right wheelhouse.
Not that memorable a theme.
No, it's not. That's the thing.
And this is the next one.
Creepy. Oh, Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
Which, by the way, great film if you guys haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a good movie.
And then, of course, finally, a fun little one here.
Because you never can tell.
Which this gives it away, obviously.
There just might be a gremlin in your house.
Oh.
Well, what is it?
Gremlins 2, the new batch. Specifically.
He did Freeway also.
Reese
Witherspoon.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Yep.
He has done a ton of movies, which, by the way, is different from Free Jack, starring Emilio Estevez and Mick Jagger.
Very much different.
About Free Jack before.
Yeah, we've mentioned
Mick
Free
Jagger's
Jack
in that as well.
So anyway, a little nod to Danny Elfman here on the newscast. I think that John Williams gets many more accolades.
Oh, yeah.
But Elfman, I think.
Deservedly so, by the way.
John
Williams is better than Danny.
Oh, no, yeah, I would agree. When you do the theme to Emilio Estevez's Wisdom, I mean, really, come on. Come on.
He is co-doing the Hunger Games soundtrack as well.
Danny Elfman is?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
With who's
his? T-Bone Burnett.
Oh, that's right. Okay, cool.
All right, Matt, so we can't wait to hear some more music on The Buried Treasure.
Yeah, for real. More music.
Woo-hoo! No, it's not a music themed. I just have music to play does. So, Mikey, if you want to go ahead and cue this up, this will give you a little hint of what I'm going to be talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Crap.
Hang on, there's a flurry of activity.
My bad.
We've never done a video game-related Buried Treasure, that's what I'm doing here.
I'll be honest with you, Marley's Mellow Mood is kind of messing everybody up.
Yeah.
Released in 1997 for the Nintendo 64, I'm talking about GoldenEye 007.
Nice.
You can kind of fade it out if you want a little bit, Mike, because it really distracts me. This game is hard to talk over it because I can't.
You called
tell what's
for
going
it.
On,
no, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I did. Just leave it going real quietly or whatever.
I've got it.
Unless
you
stopped it. Yeah. Anyway, this game sold more than 8 million units, representing the third top selling game on the N64. Was developed over the course of 2.5 years and is originally designed as an on-rail shooter like Hogan's Alley or Virtua Cop.
Hogan's Alley. I was just talking about Hogan's Alley today.
Well, Hogan's Alley wasn't really on rails. It just was static.
Like Gumshoe Better.
Anyway, yeah, people were popping up out of windows and stuff.
But it ended up being basically setting the standard of multiplayer first-person gaming. It featured levels based on the 1995 film. Started off at the dam, and you ended chasing Trevelyan around the huge satellite transmitter.
Loved it.
Some
hours
bonus
and
levels.
Hours.
Bonus levels related to classic Bond canon. And the big catch here was the multiplayer. Multiplayer was one of the first times four players could face off on a console in a first-person shooter against each other. Played this game for hours and hours. Many all-nighters with buddies. My personal favorite moments... Golden Gun play in the complex, killing whoever chose Baron Samedi, and planting proximity mines in the facility. I love driving people crazy, picking slappers and throwing knives.
Remote mines, those are the best.
Yeah, and not many of you guys knew this, but Pierce Brosnan's digital likeness was nominated for 3 Tonys and an Emmy, but it was snubbed all around for each one.
That's rough.
Did you guys play this game a lot?
Yeah.
I'm guessing so.
I did not graduate college because of this game.
Yeah, pretty much same here.
I have played this game a total of approximately 38 seconds in my entire life.
That's back when I was a gamer. I actually played this game, like, constantly.
Oh, Michael, dude. You're still a player.
It's coming out again. They're re-releasing it.
They already did on Wii.
Is it already?
Yeah.
It's
basically
coming to PS3 and Xbox also. I
guess. Yeah, they're doing a new re-release.
Yeah.
Of it
another
because,
a re-release.
They're doing it because they had a deal to do whatever the new movie's game was, and because the new movie got delayed, they end up coming out with a redo of that game that came out last year.
Yeah, yeah.
This year, so they can hang on to the license, which is ridiculous.
Inspiring release schedules.
Anyway, I thought I would give a little throwback to some classic late 90s video games. This one is one of my favorites of all time, absolutely. GoldenEye 007 N64.
Total agreement. Love it.
Hey, Rhett, complain for me. Make me laugh.
Well, I'm going to need some help on this because I don't understand what is happening with this Occupy Wall Street thing.
Oh, God.
It appears, and tell me where I'm wrong on here, it appears to be reasonably well-to-do white people who live at home who are upset because some people who work very hard and have college educations make more money than they do. Is that what that is about, or is
it's not that they're upset that they make more money. It's they're upset because they won't give that money to them.
To them. Right, right, so it doesn't matter how much you have as long as they get some of it. Is that? Oh, oh.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Oh,
they want it.
Well, then rant canceled. Yeah. No, no. It's what is the problem here? I mean, I see this. Number one, they're dirty and stinky.
Well,
and
as I posted on Facebook,
pee on the street. Okay, yeah,
yeah. This is from a generation that dodgeball was banned, and everybody got trophies.
Correct.
At their games.
No, yes,
from
that's
an
right.
upward generation.
Yeah.
They've been playing a lot of. Yeah, they've been playing a lot of soccer, where even when you're a loser, you only lost by 1 point.
Nobody kept score for them, so they're keeping score now, thinking they are owed some points.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm infuriated by it.
Yeah,
okay.
It's ridiculous
because they're. And I love to see all their designer clothes that they wear.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like now they're selling, you know, there are websites devoted to selling Occupy Wall Street T-shirts and hats, okay, which seems to be
we know they're getting
irony
they're getting paid,
that will be lost on them. Well, I don't know the particulars of all of this. I'm ranting from a position of ignorance because I do not know what this is about exactly.
Kanye West went and hung out with him.
Right, with a $350 shirt on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So
it's a rough life.
Yeah, I want this to stop. We're giving them. I don't think there are probably as many people. I mean, it's a bunch of people in New York who pee on the street, which they've been doing.
It's actually
for years.
Moving to different cities now too.
Well, I saw there were 53 that showed up for the protest in D.C., which is not really much of a crowd.
No, it's not.
That's like a juice guest audience.
Yeah,
they're just occupying any city that has a Wall Street. It doesn't matter if it has anything to do with.
Just any old Wall Street.
Yeah,
I would have no problem whatsoever if for like a week martial law was enacted and we just took people out.
Yeah, just go through, sweep them up.
They're a waste of space, and they are costing New York millions just by spending the night in the park.
And stinking the joint up.
Yeah.
I would have a smidgen of sympathy. Smidgen.
Yeah, just a tiny bit.
If you had a large group of people that perhaps were in poverty, were poor, were, you know, didn't have a lot of clothes, didn't have a whole lot of food, you know, they were coming upon these corporations going, you know, we need food. We need something to eat. We need somewhere to stay. We're homeless or whatever. You're talking about hipster people out there with their designer clothes and their iPods and their fancy cameras and whatever else they've got.
Their V-neck T-shirts.
Exactly. You know, give us more money. You make too much money.
Skinny
and what I
jeans.
Don't understand and what I cannot figure out, nobody will tell me, how much is too much money? And I want to find that out because I want to earn up to that point so nobody will fuss at me.
But not beyond it. Right,
no,
yeah.
No.
What should be my goal be so that I don't upset all of you? Is there a certain amount of richness I can have before you get all upset that I have a lot more than you do?
And why? I want my boss to come to me
Because they love Hollywood
say,
people.
And say, Dave, you've done a great job. We're going to give you a promotion. And I can say, no. Because if you give me that, I'll go over the rich line.
Yeah, no,
and I don't want people to not like me.
Yeah, no, I'm maxed out, boss.
Yeah,
but give that guy over there whose mom just dropped him off with his iPod and give him that money.
Or you have raised my freaking taxes so much that if I make more than this money right here that you're about to raise me over, my taxes will now make me make less.
I'll go to a bracket where my take home is less.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, I'm going to top out at 99. Don't pay me 100,000. You know, and that's what I don't get. I don't understand how. And plus, what right is it for you to tell somebody you make too much money? You make too much money. You should give me.
There's
no right for that.
It is a symptom of what America is becoming.
Exactly.
Where how am I a victim? Let me find out as quickly as possible so that I can exploit my own victim status.
Yeah, we're all victims.
I don't know
a lot
about Herman Cain yet. But I love the fact that he's like, if you guys would go to work, you'd be rich. If you're not rich, blame yourself.
Yeah, I like that too.
You know what? You know how you're not making money? Standing on the side of the street.
And I love what Adam Carolla had to say about it.
Yes.
Kiss my rich white
Marsh. Yes.
Love it.
Wow.
Hey, how about Herman? Rock me like a Herman Cain.
That's right.
Oh yeah, he's black.
What?
Yeah, I had a buddy that put on Facebook like this chart that was the difference between the average salary in a country and the CEO salary. And like America, it was like way higher, the CEO salary was. And the guy was like, there's a major problem here. I'm like, why does that mean there's a problem?
Right. You know what I want to be? I want
to
be the CEO that
makes
money. Yeah. But also, they work 20-hour days, and I mean, many of them. I mean, at least they have at some point. I mean, people don't typically get. You can be handed wealth. I mean, there are plenty of trust fund babies who get handed wealth.
And I'm sure some of them are actually occupying Wall Street right now.
Correct. That's exactly right. But to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, you had to have done something right somewhere along the way. Something that you're probably not doing.
It's all
occupying Wall Street. Well, there's certainly. I'm aware that there is certainly some of that.
Here's what else pisses me off. Okay, so you're a poor person or middle class person that feels like you or
these
aren't money.
Poor. None of these people.
Okay,
right.
So whatever.
None
you're occupying Wall Street. I tax you. How is that going to make your life better? How is that going to make John Q. Protesters' life any better by taxing you more money? Because what are they going to do? They're going to pass it down.
Right.
They're going to say, "Oh, we're being taxed. Well, we got to ramp up the cost of our goods to pay for this."
It's just these people don't have anything else to do.
Well, I would actually venture to say that they are spoiled. They're not poor whatsoever.
No, you're right.
They're entitled and they're spoiled. They feel like they have the right to go out and do what they're doing, and they actually have no right to do that. I mean, it's just.
And what sucks is
they're complaining about not having Wi-Fi access. I read that online. They were complaining about not having Wi-Fi.
It's not a personal thing to them. It's not a thing that's affecting them personally. It's a cause. It's like a dogmatic, like left wing thing that they just feel like they have to do. If they don't do it, then they're not being a part of their culture.
And there are
where
people,
they are. Basically,
there are people out there in this country that legitimately need help. They need help. Right. In their lives, whatever it is they're doing, they need some help. But you've got all these people up here occupying Wall Street, taking away all the possibility of helping those people that actually need help. And it's just, it makes me mad. So.
Me too.
And you know what? And I would be willing to have the discussion with somebody if somebody could say, here's why we need to tax rich people more money. Here's why we, you know, they need to give some wealth back. Give me a legitimate argument. I'll have that debate. But so far, nobody can tell me how much is too much money.
Because there is
is too much money.
And they, the top 50% of wage earners pay, what, 90 or 95% of the taxes or so
ridiculous.
Now? Yeah, so anyway. Also, and I don't remember where this article was. It was USA Today or Huffington Post or somewhere. But it was that college graduates... the unemployment rate among college graduates is 5.1 or 5.2% or something.
Right. I can believe that.
Which is what we call when there's a unless it's a Republican president, we call that full employment. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it's a Republican, we call that massive unemployment. But anyway, that's all. I don't understand these people. I don't relate to them. I don't have anything in common with them other than that I am also white and middle class. But I also work. So that is where we diverge very sharply from one another, and I can't hear what they have to say anymore.
Yeah,
we're too busy making our own money, making money for us and our own families, and you know, to give to other people as well. So
free
and my other thing too, and Rhett, please jump in here. And as a half Mexican, I feel like I can talk about this as well.
Oh wait, I don't know if I want to talk about
this. Are we going to talk about yards?
Possibly.
Landscaping.
What
if it's landscape art? I'm fine with talking.
What
about
What part
this,
about illegal immigrant?
No.
Do we not?
My favorite is when they say they're just law-abiding people. Well, no, I'm sorry. By default, they are not.
I'm reading in the paper about these families that are having to move. It's this tear-jerking article about kids being uprooted, families leaving their jobs, and they're leaving the state, who have been here for 5 and 10 and 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Illegally. Illegal. You don't have to become a citizen. Just get your freaking papers. And if that means you have to go back to Mexico to do it right, well, then so
just
be it.
Just do it right, please.
No,
that's fine.
That's all we want you
papers.
To do. Come on.
That's fine.
Do it right.
No
you
know. Ticket.
There are your papers.
There
are your papers.
All right, so anyway, any more rants we have? Let's talk about Facebook and about the
Facebook. Well, I'm completely baffled by Facebook
the
now.
Picture,
yeah,
the,
I don't
since it changed, I don't know what
Matt and I were talking
what's
about
happening.
The pictures with the words on it, suddenly there's this big influx.
Everybody posting these inspirational...
I mean,
it's just pictures with words on it. It's like a motivational poster.
Me.
I can't read or write anyways. So,
and there's a whole lot of cartoons going up there, too. I don't know where these...
Cartoons?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like caption cartoons.
Comic strip
like,
type cartoons.
Like a ton of them going up.
They're not moving?
Not like animated pictures.
No, I don't want to look at them, then. No.
But some of those I don't mind. I mean, I don't...
Yeah, some of them are kind of funny, but, you know.
But,
anyway.
What are we talking about?
All right, so I think you had said Rhett,
can we talk about scores now?
Well, Rhett, you had said that liberals are dumb, and so we were talking about that.
I think I may have. I don't know if I said that here, but I have definitely said.
Don't even reference it.
Is O'Bradma still muted? I'm sorry.
Don't even reference it.
All right. Thank you guys for being there. That's fantastic. I know you can't see me on the Ustream, but I'm pointing at you with a thumbs up. That's awesome. All right, so let's talk about the big three.
The big three.
This week we wanted to go a little theatrical and some more music for you. We wanted to talk about some scores, the themes from some of our favorite films. We wanted to make sure that we excluded the John Williams Star Wars theme and all the music from Star Wars, because I think we'd have crossover like crazy if we did that. So, and we still might have some crossover, but I'm going to kick it off with...
I didn't know we made that rule, but I don't have one, so it's okay.
Okay, good, good, good. Yeah, we made that rule. I'm going to kick it off with some honorable
mentions. What about the score to that Ewoks movie? Because that was on my list.
Oh, no, that's good.
That's fine. Yeah,
oh,
that's
okay,
fine.
good.
Yeah. Yeah, the Star Wars Holiday Special also have some music.
You're not going to play.
Does Rue McClanahan sing?
No.
No, it's B. Arthur, not Rue.
Because we'll be here for days if you play your honorable mentions.
My four honorable mentions I have are Gremlins, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Titanic, which I bought the soundtrack and I still have it. And I
love it. I've got it.
It is a good soundtrack.
And Inception. The more I watch that movie and listen to music, the music is just great. It really, really matches.
Right.
But my number three is an old movie that I think is iconic, and I think the song is iconic.
Gone with the Wind.
Nope.
Oh.
It's the theme from Psycho.
Psycho.
Yeah.
It's and if Psycho, you've ever seen this movie, this is playing at the beginning when our main character, one of our main characters, is driving down the road, and she's got the money with her, that like this huge amount of money that she's stolen, and she's trying to get away.
Anne Heche?
She's nervous.
Wait, yeah.
No, not Anne Heche.
Didn't this come out in 98?
That that remake by Gus Van Sant with Vince Vaughn is an abortion, so don't ever watch it. Ever. Ever watch that movie.
That's
good. Horrible.
How could it be a shot-for-shot remake and be 100 times more terrible than
the perplexing thing. It's a shot-by-shot remake.
Well,
and
that is
awful. The original is.
Are we really
fantastic.
Saying the original is that great?
The original
no,
is.
No, it's not that great.
Are you just saying that because.
Good.
Whatever.
It's only great the for the period it was out in.
The thing looks like Citizen
like
Kane
Citizen
compared
Kane.
To that turd of a remake, though.
Citizen Kane sucked, but no. But Psycho, great movie. Anyway, that's my number three. The theme from Psycho from Bernard Herrmann. And actually, we're listening to the Danny Elfman version from the 98 film. But it's kind of the same thing. So anyway,
you just played the Danny Elfman
oh,
version.
Oh, good grief!
With Bernard Herrmann from who did the original?
Jeez. Well, at least they did that shot by shot.
Right. Mikey.
Okay, my honorable mentions. I had I stayed away from most of the John Williams stuff, but I will have to say that Superman and Jaws are two of the best scores.
Superman Krypton's a great piece of music.
And then, as far as my criteria was concerned, I tried to stay away from anything really new. I just felt like a score is something that's iconic, that you know exactly what it is when you hear it. And so I did want to put some of the newer ones that I love in my honorable mentions, at least. The Social Network, Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor, excellent. Tron Legacy had its moments. Daft Punk, very good.
Absolutely.
The Dark Knight and Inception, Hans Zimmer. That guy is pretty prolific.
Hans
he does a lot of movie scores, but my number three was done by Trevor Jones and Randy Edelman, and it is Last of the Mohicans. Maybe.
Stay alive, no matter what it takes.
It's pretty good. I like
I
the
will
horns.
Find you.
It's good horns.
No matter where I go, no matter what it takes, I will find you.
That's right.
That is my 11th favorite film of all time, by the way.
That's pretty high.
That's a high rank. I love this movie.
Good call. So yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
Good call. Okay.
All right, Rhett, what you got?
I'm going to treat these not as individual movies, but I don't know that they're the greatest, but they're ones that I've listened to quite a bit, and they're kind of on my mind, so I thought I would bring them up. I think the work Don Davis did on the Matrix trilogy,
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Because
okay.
He gave it a very distinct feel. Right. It, feel, oh, yeah. It feels most completely definitely. Like, yeah. unlike most anything definitely. Else. Mm-hmm. It was thematically sound through all three films, where the films were not. The, right. the soundtrack was. I think his work with, Juno Reactor, on things like Mona Lisa Overdrive, I think is a great piece.
Mona Lisa Smile?
Yeah, Mona Lisa Smile. Yes.
That is yeah. very Project. That is very different.
That's awesome.
Navarrus from the third one. What was the name of that?
Did you say Nazareth?
Navarrus was okay. the name of the piece. But yeah,
Nazareth.
From
that's
also very different. But I find myself listening to it. The Propeller Head song during the lobby shootout is great. I think that work was good. Now, some of it gets a little loud and obnoxious, but I thought all the horn work was good. Mm-hmm. This genre-bending mix of where you had a very dance, or not dance, but techno-electronica sound with the orchestral pieces. I don't know. I liked it.
No, I mean, overall, it's a good soundtrack, but whatever.
Would you declare that as your number three?
Well, it is. It's right. Yeah. For these purposes, that's gotcha. My number three.
There you go. Yeah. That.
All right, Matt, your turn.
Oh wow. All right. Well, let me give you my honorable mentions that nobody's mentioned yet. Gladiator, Hans Zimmer. Braveheart, James Horner. And of course, I mean, There Will Be Blood, Johnny Greenwood.
Good one.
Book of Eli, Atticus
Hipster,
Ross.
Hipster, but good.
Interesting.
Good soundtrack, and Dust Brothers Fight Club. So my number three is just play it, Mikey, okay, and we'll see. You guys know
I'm assuming
this
that these are in order by number.
Number three.
Yeah. So here we go.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
song. Song by Brad Fidel.
This is from the original, correct?
No, this is actually the Terminator 2
this
version.
This is 2, yeah.
Yeah, but...
good.
It's hard. I'm hard-pressed to think of movie themes and not think of this one. I love it. I love the sound. It's supposed to be based on, like a robot's heartbeat, which doesn't really make sense because a robot wouldn't have a heart. But anyway, Terminator 2 theme, Brad Fidel, number 3.
Awesome, dude.
So my number 2, here we go.
I don't recognize it.
Aaron Brockovich.
I don't know. I don't know what this movie is.
This song just freaking pumps me up, I'll be honest with you. And I like the fourth movie better than I do even the first one. The first one was good. They got progressively better and worse at the same time. But this song is just awesome, and it's especially if you're working out, which I really don't do, and if you're exercising, which I really don't do. But I mean, this song pumps me up. I mean,
it's good for sitting.
It's great.
It's really good for
sitting.
And
as somebody who's run the Rocky Steps in Philadelphia, it's fantastic.
And lived to tell the tale.
I lived to tell the tale. I did. And of course, you get to the top, you have to go Adrian! At the very top. And the last time when I did that, actually, there were some Chinese people that were running as well at the same time, going up and down, and they got to the top. They were like Adrian! Which is kind of funny.
Or they carrying Chinese, like 50 cameras?
Something like that. The cameras jangling everywhere. But no, Bill Conti, the theme to Rocky, Gonna Fly Now is what it's called, and it's fantastic.
I don't think the vocals do that song any favors.
I agree. I totally agree.
I think
or that guitar riff.
Yeah, correct. Right.
Dude, this one makes it modern. This is awesome.
I mean, it is a great piece of music, but I would tend to pot that down right before the vocals kick in.
It takes it. It almost bumps it down to the Con Air caliber.
Hard now.
I am a boxer.
All right, Mikey, you're number 2.
All right, here's my number 2.
I am a boxer.
Yeah. Now, this is the original. I'm not going to go Terminator 2 on it. I'm going to go original James Bond theme, Monty Norman featuring the John Barry Orchestra. This is from Dr. No. This is the best. The classic one is definitely the best. Yeah.
James Bond, overrated.
I go there.
Yeah.
I mean,
the song is great. That song is.
I feel
really
like we.
Song,
yeah, the music's actually better than
Michael.
The,
looks
than
like we just
the series.
All three collectively kick him in the nads. We just kick him in the bonds.
Not nearly as good as the N64 game.
Name me another series that's gone 23 awesome movies.
Friday the 13th.
Every single one of them
Police
awesome
Academy.
In its own right.
What?
23? I'm just kidding.
You name me one. I don't know. I haven't heard of one.
Out of 23?
No,
come on,
I mean,
dude.
A series that's had 23 awesome movies. I don't
know. Oh, there's
know
been
of
a lot.
One.
Like back in the day, there's like, look it up. There's been a lot.
I just remember when I was a kid, I liked saying the word octopussy because it made me feel like I was saying a dirty word, even though it was the title of a movie.
I make a point to say it 2 or 3 times daily.
That's right.
Amaryllis, can you back that up?
Rhett, you're number two.
You guys are going against the. You guys took a different tack than I did on this. You guys are. You seem to be going for themes.
Pretty
very,
tactless.
Very
yeah,
recognizable
I did,
themes.
I only did Rhett for that one. So
okay.
I'm
okay.
With
well.
You.
Okay. Good. Good. And I kind of. I've taken into account
well,
an entire
for us,
score.
I did my favorites. Whether you recognize.
Well, no,
yeah,
no, that's okay. No, I mean I'm with you. I just I'm
judge
going for
not, be judged.
The ones that I find myself listening to and the score in the entirety are not so theme centric. I mean, right. These very recognizable themes. So I really like the Truman Show soundtrack.
Good call.
Some of the best pieces on there by Philip Glass, right. Minimalist composer.
Right, right.
And this will get blank stares from everyone. Has anyone ever heard of Koyaanisqatsi?
I had that once. Yeah. I got some
Well, some ointment. Yeah, some ointment. Clear
I
that
crapped
up.
One of those out.
Yes. So. Well, it's
kind
like of
like
a,
I was singing.
Exactly.
It's a film by Gottfried Reggio, and Philip Glass did the soundtrack, and they worked together on it. And some of the pieces from Truman Show are from Koyaanisqatsi. But anyway, I think
was
top to bottom
to
that
Ishtar?
Soundtrack is no, it's completely different.
Okay.
Or Mona Lisa Smile.
Just like that.
Yes.
You got it. No. But anyway, I really like that score. I mean, and there are other composers who did different snippets here and there on it. But
ironically, Ben Folds is a huge fan of Philip Glass.
Is that right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I buy that.
There you go.
He is. Yeah.
They kind of look similar.
Legitimately.
Matt.
Hey, before we go any further, Rhett, how's the mellow mood treating you?
He stopped drinking that hours ago.
Oh yeah, no, but I've been in and out of
consciousness.
Yeah, I mean, I've taken 2 to 3 naps over the course of the podcast.
Micro naps,
hour naps.
Okay, well, I just wanted to update
honestly,
on that.
I slept through the entire Spotify discussion.
It's okay. It doesn't pertain to your.
It's probably for the best because it's a great service and everybody's crapped all over it.
Well,
but
I
anyway.
Can do you one better, actually. I just now got the bleeding to stop when I slipped my wrists during the Spotify discussion. But we're good now. So.
You have a medic on hand?
He keeps kicking me in the face. He's dangling from the ceiling.
No, Matt, we have a back to tank. We have
it's
a back
like,
to tank.
Sometimes I feel like we're an airplane. And one of us
just lined up.
One of us gets to talking, and like the old lady's back beside us.
There's the,
and like I feel like I'm hanging from the ceiling.
There's a guy with a turban trying to light a match.
When you're done talking. Just, I don't know. Anyway, Matt, you're number two.
My number two is. My number two
over
is
Macho Grande. I'll never get over Macho Grande.
What's your number? What?
Number two.
My number two is, of the overall score, it's got to be Lord of the Rings, Howard Shore. And nice. I can think of so many little bits. This is the one I think of most.
Now, this is actually not Lord of the Rings. This is Zamfir and the Pan Flute.
This is actually the breaking of the fellowship.
That's our first Zamfir reference of the newscast.
Yeah! Success!
28 episodes!
Shut her down! We're finished!
That was yawny, but.
No, Zamfir did the pan flute, not Yanni.
My bad.
Good grief.
Whatever long haired Cretian.
Took a bath, hippie. Cretian.
Isn't he a Cretian?
Is he from Crete? I don't know.
Matt, I do like the Lord of the Rings score. I probably would have picked a more more battle-y one, like, you know, something in the battles or whatever. But no,
battle-y?
Like
no, it's a good score.
Word?
And
is that
a
verb?
It's another
one
of those
one
like
I think of because it's the very beginning of the first movie, you know, where...
No, that's pretty indicative of the It's very much like the original trilogy from Star Wars, where right. those themes carry through all the movies, and they're character related, which I like. I mean, I think that takes, I mean, that's good work when you do that.
For my number one, I also chose Last of the Mohicans, but I chose something a little different.
The Elks theme?
Not quite. Not quite.
The First Kiss?
It's building. This is a song they call The Gale. G-A-E-L.
Yes. It's a very good one.
Yes. It is.
Like a wind?
Amazing.
Yeah, it's good. It's one
I
of
mean,
my faves.
This same thing just plays over and over for like 28 straight minutes, and it's awesome.
Yeah, this brings me back to the movie. I'm in the movie now.
It's like and I think there's just so much power at the end of this movie, and I don't want to spoil it for those of you who haven't seen it. Although you all should have seen it.
It came out in 92.
So I don't freaking care.
Come on, dude.
No, it's...
Statute of limitations.
It's when Nathaniel is running through the forest to catch up to West Studi. What's his name? Magua. Magua. Not Mogwai.
Magua.
Isn't that Danny Trejo?
And the bad guy Indians? You'd think. Machete.
No, it's Adam Beach.
So he's tracing. He's running through and he's shooting all the other the Indians or whatever. And there's just, I don't know, this song is just great.
Yeah.
So. It makes me want to go down to steerage and dance a jig.
There you go.
Steerage.
So that is my favorite theme of all time. Not counting Star Wars. And this actually might top Star Wars in some occasions.
Good.
But anyway, The Gale, G-A-E-L, The Gale, The Last of the Mohicans. That's my number one. Michael.
I don't think this next one, my number one, is going to surprise anybody.
Theme from Waterworld.
You're on the right
track. As sung by... who's the guy in Waterworld? I can't think of
it. Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Speaking of Kevin Costner...
He is my muse.
Now, this is a... The French Horn is great. I mean, this is a good piece of music.
I love it. It's phenomenal.
I'm surprised
it's so good that now they stick it in front of almost every other movie.
Exactly. It's Michael
Caine. I'm really
Payman.
Surprised,
I mean,
though,
awesome.
You didn't go with Swing Boats. If you're going Costner.
No, I actually legitimately
or maybe Mr. Brooks.
This is one of the reasons I love this movie.
Michael Caine's dead, isn't he?
No.
Is he not dead? Who died? I think he's dead.
Wait, yeah, Caine.
He's dead.
You're thinking of Gary Coleman. He's dead.
No, I think Michael Caine is dead.
No, I think he is dead.
Rhett, what's your favorite piece of
music? He did the Highlander also.
What's your favorite piece of music there, Rhett?
I think John Williams' best work is actually Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Good choice.
I mean, I can't think of very many movies where the score plays such an important role. I mean, that five-note motif is that movie, all right? It's a tone, up a full tone, down a major third, drop an octave, up a perfect fifth, for those of you scoring at home.
What the hell did you say?
I said, no, that's
you're
the that's the chord progression.
There.
Rubbing seconds, you mean.
Rubbing
seconds. No,
Rubbing's racing.
I think, I mean, the soundtrack, it builds tension where it needs to go.
Yes.
There are eerie parts, there are sweet parts. You've got the Wish Upon a Star at the during the closing credits. I think it is his best work. I also think that's some of Spielberg's best work. I think that's his one of his most ambitious films. I mean, he's done some great things.
1942 is my
Lost World.
Spielberg.
Really?
I was thinking Batman.
Lost World.
I was thinking
Batman's
not included, but you know,
he didn't direct that.
It was one of his movies, though.
He may have executive produced it, but it's Zemeckis directed, I think.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, at any rate. But anyway.
What are you, Matt, peeing all over my AT-AT for Christmas? Jeez.
You got an AT-AT and Han Solo? They weren't even...
But he was in the Hoth outfit, and he could have been there in the extended scene.
I mean, it is a bit ridiculous, Dave.
It is. No, I agree.
Close Encounters was actually, I think, one of Spielberg's most underrated films.
I think it's brilliant.
And I think it's a movie that nobody, the younger generation, does not think of, and it is a.
I mean, that's a big movie. I mean, it starts off, you know, it starts in the air control tower or whatever.
Whippersnappers don't know what they're talking about.
The guy in the Mexican desert, like, the sun came out last night and it sang to me. I mean, this is a big epic movie. I love it.
I think that and Duel are two movies.
And Duel's a good one too.
Duel is fantastic with Dennis Weaver. I mean, my favorite Dennis Weaver movie of all time.
time.
Oh, what a great that's a great movie.
Your
favorite Dennis Weaver movie.
Do not count that.
I got Dennis Weaver movies lined up on my shelf there. You know. I got that, and I got what's that field movie with Kurt Russell, Amber Waves of Grain. I got that lined up the day after.
What?
We're awesome.
The day after?
With so, Kurt Russell?
Oh, man.
So,
little
about?
Jason Robards shout out.
There was a TV movie. There was a TV movie in the 80s called Amber Waves of Grain with Dennis Weaver and Kurt Russell, a young Kurt, well, a mid-life Kurt Russell. Not Amber Waves.
Never, I'm not going to go there.
Amber Waves of Grain.
Okay.
And it was all about feel, I mean, like farming or whatever. It was a great film. Matt, what's your number one?
I mean, I guess you liked it because you have farming in your blood, so you probably like it.
Well, landscaping movies, yes.
Yes, okay. So
not a lot of landscaping movies.
They're the one
the
with
lawnmower
the
man,
the old guy, the old dude on the
Sling
John
Blade.
Deere, Sling Blade. Yeah, I can buy Sling Blade.
French fried taters.
The really old dude on the John Deere, and it was just him on the cover of the poster. Was just him on a John Deere, just going down. He won an Oscar.
Aaron Brockovich.
Exactly.
And that is proof right there that the Oscars are totally defunct.
I think I know what you're talking about, though, because
yeah.
I think that's the film where, like, a documentary
it's an
or something,
old dude.
Where he
no,
drove.
No, this is a real.
Or he drove. There's one movie like that where
this
he
is
drove
a narrative.
His
this is a narrative.
His tractor like across four states to see his brother,
right?
Because his brother was dying of cancer. This guy didn't really have a license, so he got on his riding lawnmower and rode halfway across the country to see his dying brother dying of cancer, like in Michigan or something.
Hmm.
That's a documentary, I believe, or a real. I don't know. Anyway, Matt, talk to us.
Number one, it's
it
the
or,
same no. as you guys. It's Last of the Mohicans. So,
a lot of love
it.
For that.
Good.
I didn't expect
it's a great
that.
Sound. I mean, it's a great soundtrack. It's a great score.
Well, then we're by far going to play it again. It is an amazing score. Yeah.
This is from Promontory.
I mean, it's not. It's yeah. which. It's definitely not better than Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
A few things are.
On my list, that is the pinnacle of movie soundtracks.
I don't know one note of the rest of that score other than that opening song.
Other than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, in all honesty, the rest of it sucks.
Okay.
Well, except for Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
Well, oh,
obviously.
No, you can't go wrong with that.
This is awesome. This makes me want to go watch the movie right now.
Let's just skip the cast and let's watch the movie. Let's just actually play the movie over the podcast and let people hear it.
There we are.
Yeah.
Excellente.
So that's our theme songs. So now it's time for a little game we like to call Name That Crap.
Awesome.
And this is going to be the hairband
edition. Which is pretty much any music Dave listens to.
We're going
to
take it all the way back. Shut up. We're going to take it all the way back.
Yeah.
To
the West Rock.
It's all clips from Music Minutes.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey-o.
So what we're going to do is we're going to play a little bit of music, ask some questions about this music, and it's going to be multiple choice, make it a little easier for you.
Oh.
And it's all going to be power ballads and rock bands from the 80s and early 90s.
Looking forward to this.
Oh, it's going to be great. And you guys can in the chat feed can play along here.
About it anymore. Sorry. That's for you, Brad.
In 1989, this band had a hit with a soft rock hair band song called The Ballad of Jane. Who sings it? Is it A, Warrant? Is it B, L.A. Guns? Is it C, Slaughter? Or is it D, Skid Row?
Is it Skid Row?
Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, it's
Matt says Skid Row.
It's Skid Row.
Skid Row.
Yeah.
Sebastian Bach.
The Ballad of Jane, L.A. Guns.
Oh! Who?
They all sound the same.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. They are course, utterly course. Interchangeable.
You can move on if you want.
No, this is awesome. All right,
we'll move on to the next song here. All right, so here we go.
Yeah.
In 1987, this band's biggest hit dropped. Telling us to stay up all night, sleep all day. Who sings it? Is it A, Warrant? B, Slaughter? C, Skid Row? Or D, Winger? Rhett, what do you think?
I'm going to go Winger.
Michael?
This is Slaughter.
And Matt?
That does not sound like Kip Winger to me. I say Slaughter as well.
It is Slaughter.
Yeah. Yes. You're keeping track, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, you can just let it rock.
By the way, as I was compiling these songs, I actually had to download a few from iTunes, and I had to listen to a lot of these all afternoon, and they were pretty terrible. So, question number three. 80s hair bands aren't supposed to give us anything but rocking out, no. But some were not opposed to giving us moral lessons on life.
That's right.
Like this hit from 1990, telling us how dangerous it is to be 18 in life.
Yes, yes.
Who could it be? Is it Winger? Is it Slaughter? Is it White Lion? Or is it Skid Row? What do you guys think? Matt?
Skid Row? I don't know.
Michael?
Yeah, that's definitely Skid Row.
Yep. It is Skid Row.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a point.
Sebastian Bach, he is a prolific singer.
Dude, he sang a Ducks song that was phenomenal on Jimmy Fallon.
All right. Speaking of Skid Row, Sebastian Bach, the lead singer,
yes,
found his acting chops, along with his sensitive side, in the late 90s and early 2000s, taking a supporting role in what chick-focused dramedy? Dawson's Creek, Gilmore Girls, Felicity, or Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman?
Ooh, this is tough.
Rhett, what do you think?
I haven't seen 1 second of any of the programs you just named.
And you are better off just, for it, brother.
Yes, just... I don't even have an answer for this.
Well, is it Dawson's Creek, Gilmore Girls, no. Felicity, or Quinn?
I'm going to say Felicity.
Yeah, Felicity?
It's Gilmore Girls.
Matt?
I'll go with Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
It is Gilmore Girls.
Oh.
That's what I said.
You did, and I get your point. Sebastian Bach played the boyfriend of one of the main supporting
right.
characters.
So. With his long, flowing blonde locks.
By the way, I love this next song. It's one of my favorite songs of the 80s.
Is this part of the game?
Yes.
Okay.
This song,
one
of my favorite songs from the late 80s. The song is called Wait. And the band is it Warrant, Slaughter, Cinderella, or White Lion? Michael.
Cinderella.
Rhett.
Cinderella.
Matt.
White Lion.
It is White Lion.
Oh!
I knew this one, baby.
From the album, wait for it, Pride. Their second album was actually called Main Attraction, M-A-N-E.
This proves I know nothing about terrible music.
Dude, you like Meatloaf.
Meatloaf is awesome.
Meatloaf is awesome. All right, here we go. Question number six.
Who's winning?
I don't know.
I think me and you are tied.
We're not.
Yeah, Matt and Michael are tied. Red's got one.
Sweet.
What band reminds us of the all-important lesson that you don't know what you got till it's gone?
Yeah.
Rhett, is it Cinderella, Warrant, Autograph, or L.A. Guns?
Cinderella.
It's
Matt?
Oh, sorry.
Matt?
Cinderella.
Michael?
Janie Lane, you went too soon. It's Warrant.
It is Cinderella.
Yes. I'm in the lead.
Every one of the songs you have played so far sounds exactly the same to me.
The vocalists, of Warrant, the vocalists are totally interchangeable. Like,
yes.
100%.
Rest in peace, baby.
In the early 90s, Warrant put out some awesome, awesome music. Good and book. When I say awesome, I mean awful. Including songs like The Down Boys, Heaven, and Sometimes She Cries on their first album. What awesome title did this first album have? Was it A, Whoremongering, B, Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich, C, Cherry Pie, or D, Slide It In? Rhett?
Are we talking about who again?
Warrant.
Warrant. Down
did,
Boy Heaven,
they did
Sometimes
that,
She Cries.
They did that Cherry Pie song, didn't they?
Sure.
They did that song, yes.
I'm going to go with Cherry Pie.
Matt?
Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich.
That's
Michael?
Probably it.
Slide It In.
It is Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich.
Matt's dominating. Yes. Matt is dominating.
Cherry Pie is the name of the second album.
Yeah.
Slide It In is the name of Whitesnake's second album,
yeah,
I believe.
Close.
And Whoremongering I made up because it sounded plausible.
That's a real album, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it's out there somewhere.
Whoremongering.
Right. It's also a how-to guide.
This Michael Bolton hit, Missing You Now, produced a video. Wait. featuring a
hairband. He's not a hairband.
Have you seen Michael in his hair?
No, but that's like saying Kenny G's a hairband.
Speaking of Kenny G, he was on SNL.
I saw it.
Speaking of Kenny G, he's background in this song.
I know.
He was every playing time you whisper my
name. Dude, Foster the People is awesome.
Foster the Michael Bolton hit. Yeah. So this song, Missing You Now, produced a video featuring a very young starlet who was slash is, I'm not going to tell you which, a star on Desperate Housewives. Was it A, Marsha Cross, B, Nicolette Sheridan, C, Vanessa Williams, or D, Terry Hatcher? Michael?
Yeah, it's Nicolette Sheridan.
Probably. He knows his stuff.
All right. Matt?
Terry Hatcher.
It is Terry Hatcher.
Oh!
Married to Nicolette Sheridan.
Yeah. It is Terry Hatcher.
Michael going with the confidence, and he tricked me.
Yeah.
He tricked me into following him.
I'm 3 in the lead, baby.
Dude.
You are, but we're finishing these because I had to listen to all these songs this afternoon, so we're going to finish this stupid game. What band declares that her daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me? 17. Is it A, Whitesnake? Is it B, Skid Row? Is it C, Winger? Or is it D, Damn Yankees? Michael?
Damn Yankees.
Brett?
Whitesnake.
Matt?
Whitesnake.
It is Winger.
Oh,
the first
Winger
tune. The first Winger.
Winger says she's only 17. Her daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me. Sean Sharp's theme song. Anyway, all right. Question number 10. Here we go. Chicks Everywhere went nuts over this monster ballad from 1989 as it tells the story of a guy who's so crazy about his hoe that he lives for seeing his wife flash those pearly white teeth. When I See You Smile was a monster hit for what slightly popish hair band? Is it 38 Special, Bad Company, Bad English, or Firehouse? Matt, you take this one.
Oh, man. What are the choices again?
38 Special, Bad Company, Bad English, or Firehouse?
Bad English.
Bad English, Michael?
The Nelson Brothers. It's Bad Company.
Bad Company? Rhett?
Firehouse.
It is Bad English.
Bad English?
Bad English.
I didn't even know
lead singer, John Waits.
Tom Waits? What?
John Waits. And question number 11.
Oh, man, how many are there of these?
500.
This is the final one. And really, there's no question to this. I just want to play this song because it's my game. And this is a snippet of one of my favorite songs of all time, High Enough by the Damn Yankees. A pounding in my brain is driving me crazy. And, Matt, I really want you to put this song on the end. It's awesome.
Okay.
Ted Nugent. Two guys from Journey. A guy from Styx.
Ted Nugent was this band.
This revived the Nugent's career. I just went and made one mistake. I didn't know what to say when you called me crazy. All right.
I'm sad there was no Mr. Big among your list.
Well, yeah, I thought about it.
They're more
poppish.
They're more mullet than big
yeah,
hair,
they're
though.
They're more party.
They're very Georgia Satellite.
For the win.
Hair.
I gotta
can you
say,
name your
I
follow-up
am,
hit?
I am pretty pleased, though, at the presence of great bands like L.A. Guns and White Lion. Like, White Lion. I love Wait. I had that, like, on my, like, computer. It was one of the first MP3s I remember downloading on Napster.
The problem is they followed it up with When the Children Cry.
Oh, yeah, and I had that
like,
one, too.
Which is like Nick Cage making Face Off and then immediately making Drive Angry. It's just awful.
Dude, why do you hate Drive Angry so
much? Because the movie sucks.
It's awesome.
The movie sucks.
I'm going to say it again. He drinks beer from a skull. I'm just going to say it again.
That movie looks in my
continue
butt.
Continue to
awful.
Say that.
All right, Matt, Michael, you guys
just randomly blurted out.
No, Dave, but I have some much more important news. I've got some SMG news. For those not in the know, that's Sarah Michelle Gellar. Ringer got picked up for a full season, 22 episodes, baby. So I'll get to watch all of the SMG goodness. So that is much more important than Star Wars news. Very good show. If you're not watching it, you should be.
Wait a minute. Did you say Winger?
No.
Winger got picked up for a full season?
No.
Yeah, Winger! I saw the notes. My bad. Ringer. My bad. Sorry.
Not and it's definitely not the Ringer. Oh, sorry. Johnny Knoxville classic.
Classic. Well, that's a liberal use of the word classic.
Love hurts. All right. Continue, please.
Well, I just had a couple.
That's Marley's mellow moods getting everybody.
I'm pretty much totally out of it over here. That's the only reason why I won that game.
I'm not entirely convinced, Matt, that you didn't just pee in this jar and ship it to us and seal it up somehow.
It certainly couldn't have been worse.
Really.
Yummy.
Matt, did you have garlic for dinner?
Lightly carbonated. More like lightly crappinated, am I right?
Vivacious week? It's way worse than this.
Dietary succulent.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of awesome casting news. Javier Bardem. From Beautiful. We'll be playing the main villain in Bond 23, the yet-to-be-titled Bond 23.
Blofeld?
Dude. No, he's an unnamed villain.
Haven't you heard that Blofeld's going to be in it?
I've heard that, but
is that a
just
band?
Could be a guy?
Is that a black chick? Who is that?
That's the rumor.
He's not going to be Blofeld. He's not a Blofeld-looking guy. He's going to be the main villain. And then Don Johnson was cast in Django Unchained. So... I'm hoping that he is going to be the ancestor of his character in Machete. That'd be freaking awesome because they were both racist pigs. So I think that would be pretty cool.
Machete.
Don Johnson deserves a comeback.
And quickly, I guess we can talk about the new Avengers trailer because we're dorks and that's what we talk about. So
I thought it was good.
I thought it was great. I liked it. I at this point, really, you could show RDJ crapping in a stool and with an Iron Man mask on, and I'd be like, yeah! So I'm just so pumped for this movie, you know.
I'd really prefer if Jeremy Renner was more featured in the movie. I think that his character's important.
Well, I think they're probably very cautious about doing a whole lot with him.
Dude,
Hawkeye's awesome.
Hawkeye may be awesome, but
they all have superpowers except him. He has good aim.
That's his superpower.
That's a pretty good superpower.
Yeah, well, you know what all Bumblebee can do is change from a robot to a car.
Touche.
Gotcha there. Burn. And I guess, Mikey, you had some Expendables information for us.
Well, I did want to talk about that Avengers trailer just for another second. I thought it was pretty cool that they used the same CG on the Hulk that they did in the previous movie. In other words, they didn't try and do a total change of the Hulk. They just kept it consistent.
I've heard that it actually looks different. Like, I know that they show that snippet at the end, but
you
can't really tell because it's really like a few frames. But I've heard that it looks like if you look at the image, you know, that they've got out, the promo image, it looks like a lot more, like the face is a lot different than it is for the Incredible Hulk movie.
I was just going off of the trailer.
Yeah.
I was just going off of what the trailer looked like. The trailer looked just like the one from the previous movie.
Well, I only thing that looked the same to me was like the skin tone. You know what I mean? Like, otherwise I can't tell. But I texted you about this, Mikey, a couple weeks back when they had the Avengers on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. What is up with Bruce Banner? He's doing like Blue Steel. You know what I mean? Like, did you guys notice that? Like, what is his appearance? Why does he suddenly look like some mad scientist, like stylist or something?
It's because he is. He's like Zoolander, which
It's so ridiculous.
Did you guys see that on SNL?
Well, yeah.
Zoolander?
I was thinking it was Le Tigre, not Blue Steel. So
Le Tigre.
I wasn't ready for it when I opened the magazine. I was like, whoa!
Magnum.
You know.
What did he say his new look was on SNL?
I can't remember.
It was a good appearance, though.
Disney Lone Ranger. Next topic.
Yeah. Disney Lone Ranger. What do you think? It's gonna be cheaper.
I don't know a whole lot about. I mean, I know why they shut the production down or whatever, but I haven't heard any news.
Well, see,
the Lone Ranger
is this. It's got this cowboy and this Indian, and they're friends. Do you know about the Lone
Ranger?
Yes, Kemosabe's said.
I've heard.
Yeah, exactly. But no, they're gonna have. They're gonna make it work. They're gonna go lower budget and
slightly lower. It's like $215 million.
You said Indians. I was all about it.
How do you make a $250 million Western?
Wild Wild West.
Throwing some money around.
Wild Wild West, buddy.
Wild West. It's going to be some steampunk action.
You do not want to.
It's going
to
be pretty awesome. Steampunkage.
This is our Indian theme.
Yeah, no, this is good. Just
and we're not talking about dot in the forehead. We're talking about that Indian. So.
Right.
All right.
I mean, if we're trying to
Where do they send their letters?
Exactly.
Painted by you.
We don't need that.
Which one of our sponsors, by the way?
Did you guys see the Expendables picture with Schwarzenegger, Willis, and Stallone?
No.
Schwarzenegger looked just like he did in the last movie, like the same outfit
all
on.
In the,
yeah, he had the same exact.
I have to tell you, I have very little to add to this roundtable this week because I was trying so feverishly to get this stuff, the like notes and everything done for the show because the last 2 days have been such a blur because I've had to clean house and we've got painting stuff going on in our nursery. Our baby furniture is coming in tomorrow. We get a doctor's appointment tomorrow morning. There's a baby coming apparently that I have to get ready for.
Hey, yeah, it ain't gonna get in. You're not gonna get any like more free time.
Yeah, exactly.
Once that happens, either.
Welcome to reality.
Yeah, so I'm probably gonna come back as a every 3 or 4 weeks, you know, contributor. So
yeah, it'll just be Dave once a month.
Just phone it in.
Exactly.
Skype it. Just
however,
Skype it.
I do want to bring up the topic that Matt has an issue with the glorious movie that is Con Air.
I do. I have taken issue with this because we got into a little bit of discussion about how David so seriously analyzed the character of Diamond Dog, played by Ving Rhames.
Okay, Brett, did you hear this? Have you heard this?
Did it happen on the podcast? Because I did not.
Okay,
all
right. Let me set this up, okay? All right. Okay, so you got Diamond Dog, who is in jail, who's in prison for blowing up his cousin on this raft or this boat with like 50 other people.
Right.
You know, he's this ruthless villain. He blew things up or whatever.
Yeah.
So smash cut to halfway through the movie, and Sandino is hanging out the back of the plane trying to escape, and the plane's in flames or whatever, and there's Cyrus the Virus. He pulls the cigarette out of Swamp Thing's mouth, and he throws it on the fire. The plane blows up, you know,
yeah.
And Cyrus just walking away like nothing's going on. And everybody's looking at him like, oh, my gosh, what's happening? And Diamond Dog turns around and looks at Cyrus and has this mortified look on his face like, I can't believe you were so callous to do that. I mean, just like mortified. The same guy who blew up his cousin and 50 other people on a yacht at the stage of protest is mortified that this weasel creep Sandino, probably an illegal alien, would have got kicked out of Alabama anyway, got blown up in a plane by Cyrus the Virus. And that was my point, was why is Diamond Dog even remotely offended?
Well, here's the reason, Dave. I just watched this movie, and I hadn't seen it in years. I hadn't seen this in at least 10 years. And number one, Nicolas Cage's performance in this is like, I cannot believe he ever got another acting job after it. His accent is the worst. It is the quintessential Colonel Sanders Southern accent that like nobody really has. You know what I mean?
Wait, are we having a discussion about that particular point I made?
No,
or are we
talking about problems with the movie
Con Air?
I'm prefacing this, okay? I watched the whole movie, and I was paying close attention, okay? Because I know that you brought this up.
Yes.
I wanted to help you with this. And here's my answer. Here's my solution to your problem, Dave. When the concept of blowing up the boat and the cousin was mentioned, that was actually about Sandino. That was not about Diamond Dog. Diamond Dog did not do that. So when the explosion happens later on, it sets it up where it's fitting for his character to look upset because he's not the one that blew his cousin up. He just is a political, you know, like a Black Panther type guy.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Maybe I missed this, but the scene I'm thinking of is where John Cusack's character is flipping through, and they're talking to about all the prisoners, and that's where he says, oh, that's Cameron Poe. He's a nobody. He's just hitching a ride. As they're going through people...
No, they don't say
they
that about
Diamond
him.
Dog.
I listen for it. They don't say that about him. That's later in the movie when they're, I think, when they're refueling or whatever. That's when they talk about it. It's later on. You have to watch it.
Okay, so... So they say that Diamond. They don't say that Diamond Dog did anything wrong.
No, he did wrong stuff, but not that. You know, I mean, he was. They talk about his crime,
not specifically that.
Well, now I have to go back and rewatch this movie because it's affected my memory of this movie.
Matt just rocked
the
world.
The other issue that I brought up was the fact that they landed a plane on the Vegas Strip in the middle of a weekend night, and nobody except for prisoners was hurt.
I don't see anything wrong.
You know,
with that.
I think there were other people hurt. But John Malkovich, okay, it was so ridiculous at the very end because, of course, he gets, like, slammed through this crosswalk way.
It was a ridiculous
death. Falls,
it really was.
He falls on power wires, and it's, like, sparks go everywhere. He's obviously probably dead at that point. And then suddenly he's at some, like, demolition yard with his head under this thing, and it gets...
Well, he falls off the conveyor belt.
Sense.
And, like, the next time you see him, he's laying perfectly aligned with the smasher, with his head in the smasher thing.
Why would they have a smasher on the Vegas Strip?
And it's like, he would have to fall so ridiculously perfect for him to land just like that. And when he's coming off that conveyor belt, the way he's coming off, he's like all wild, like, you know, he got the leg injured or whatever. And for him to fall, or he landed, and then he scooted himself up to the smasher, which didn't make any sense. So, anyway.
Anyway, that was it.
Holy crap.
I haven't seen it in, like, 20 years. When did it come out?
I mean, who knew there was so much subtle subtext in Con Air?
This is my 61st
just
favorite film
it.
Of all time.
Just
I love
it.
This movie.
Watch it again, Rhett, and you will see all of it. It'll all become clear to you.
So, anyway, this is a great film. I love
it. I totally agree.
And by the way, the Trisha Yearwood version of How Do I Live, a billion times better than Leanne Rimes' version. Gotta say it. Straight up.
Although it is horribly used in the movie.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Isn't it used while he's, like, having a fight with the Marines?
No, it's
before
used
that.
Whenever he's meeting his daughter and his... Well, yeah, that's
it's
the
very
beginning,
beginning
of the
and
movie.
The very
but
end.
Then it's also the very end of the movie.
Oh, it bookends the movie.
When Monica Potter, a very hot Monica Potter,
yeah,
is like,
she
is like
good.
You know, Casey, take your daddy's present. It's okay. She doesn't have to take it. You know, and the bunny that had been
my
in the water. And like, so,
it was so
I mean,
good to
bunny,
hear from you this week. It's terrible.
We have something like recess, too, but we don't hold hands.
His hair.
All right,
it's just his hair, okay?
From one awesome guy to somebody else who's probably a little overrated, Seagal Watch. What you got for us, Matt?
A little overrated.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Careful.
Well, Seagal Watch this week.
Cameron Poe beats Seagal any day.
Right.
Oh, Cameron Poe, the character, definitely does. But too bad there's nobody like that really
fictional.
Exists.
Exactly.
And plus, he's arrested for defending himself. He's put in jail for defending himself and his wife from being freaking raped. I mean, what kind of freaking liberal judge puts somebody in jail for that?
Wow.
All right, continue, sorry.
I think it was just because of the offense of his accent that they put him in jail. I would have. All right, guys. So, as you guys know, Seagal has become friends with Joe Arpaio, sheriff,
yes.
You know, Southwest Phoenix. Joe Arpaio yearly does a crime suppression sweep, and this year he's doing his 20th. Well, I guess it's not every year. It doesn't say it's annual, so I'm guessing he hasn't been doing this job for 20 years as well. But anyway, he has apparently got some ghost tweeters. I don't understand what a ghost tweeter is, but they're bragging about the participation of Steven Seagal in the suppression sweep. Basically, what the crime suppression sweep is, they go around and round up illegal immigrants in Southwest Phoenix and, you know, check their records and ship them off if they're, you know, illegal. And one of the tweets said, "My crime suppression operation will be... this doesn't even make sense. Will B have Southwest Phoenix under siege in caps tonight with Posse Man action star Steven Seagal participating?" And then it has a bunch of people with comments talking about how Joe Arpaio's illiterate and stuff like that. But but basically, that's what's going on with Steven Seagal this week.
Joe was elected sheriff in 93.
Wow.
Dude's been sheriff for nearly 20
years. Yes, that's close to 20, yeah.
That's sort of like Jefferson County's prolific sheriff here in town.
Oh, yeah. Oh, brother.
Yes.
So that is going to be the Deucecast, episode 28, Hurricane Rhett and the Podcastly Hallows, part 2.
I'm forever memorialized.
That's
forever
right.
Memorialized,
in the Deucecast.
In the interweb.
I don't know if you wanted to be or not, but there you go. Anyway, thank you for listening to our show. Thank you to the little chat feed over there for all the people not listening to our show. At least you're there, which makes something. And trust me, I've been reading your comments, and I know that none of you have really been listening at all. So it's, but hey, you're in the chat feed, and so there you go. Anyway, thank you very much to Rhett also for being here.
All right, well, I appreciate it when you have me.
Absolutely. Well, come back next week because apparently when you show up, Amaryllis listens. Painted by You, one of our sponsors. Thank you very much.
No.
Join
www.paintedbyyou,
the letter U, .com for all your pottery and painting. She's not listening anyway. It doesn't matter. Whatever. So Join us on Twitter and iTunes and Facebook. Search out The Deucecast, www.thedeucecast.com. You can go online and buy all these great albums, all these great movies. I don't even think, did we talk about many movies? Mostly music.
Con Air.
Con Air, of course. And you'll be able to buy a copy of Monster Ballads, which most of these songs will be on there. And so you'll be able to go and rock out yourself and listen to to
Monster Ballads.
So a whole lot of great 80s hair bands, and maybe we'll even put some
90s hair bands.
80s
too.
And 90s, yes, and some Michael Bolton or whatever. But
it's a distinction you must make.
Yes, absolutely. So join us next week on episode 29, the Deucecast Podcast Hard. Coming this week.
And what's the second one going to be?
I might even tune in for that one.
I don't know. We'll figure that out. Awesome. And because I was so busy, our big three is going to be a mystery next week. I don't even have it written down.
Oh, mysteries?
So.
Okay.
I think everybody just bring your own big three. Just
exactly.
Whatever.
Mystery Alaska.
Do what you want to do. Big three. So
mystery men. Okay, that's cool.
Actually, here's what a big three is going to be. I thought of this earlier, and this is what we're going to do. Big three is going to be your top three things that you want to talk about on the podcast that have not been discussed in 29 episodes of the podcast. Movies, oof, music, books, actors, topics, whatever.
Books? What are those?
Exactly.
Books.
books? What the heck are books?
That's just silly. Anyway, I am your host, Dave, saying adieu and saying goodbye to Matt up there in the nuke.
Farewell, my sweetest Casey.
See how terrible it sounds. Come on.
And that's you, Michael.
Oh, man. Marley's mellow mood has won the day.
And Michael says goodbye.
And I'm Mike, and you've just taken your weekly arpaio.
Little child, dry your crying eyes. How can I explain the fear you feel inside? 'Cause you were born to this evil world where man is killing man and no one knows just why. What have we become? Just look what we have done. All that we destroyed, you must build again. When the children cry, let them know we tried. 'Cause when the children sing, then the new world begins. Little child, you must show the way to a better day for all the young. 'Cause you children cry, let them know we tried. 'Cause when the children sing, then the new world begins. When the chill